You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertram. All right, the USDA did a study and found that 40% of white-tailed deer across the Midwest are testing positive for COVID-19 antibodies. The number's not as great here in Illinois, but it's at 7%. To help us understand all of that, Eric Schauber joins us again. He is the state biologist for Illinois. Eric, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Steve. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So how is it that these deer are becoming infected with COVID-19?
That's a huge question and a big unknown. There's a lot of ways they could be. The deer and people do interact directly occasionally, but not very often. So deer are sometimes cared for in wildlife rehabilitation facilities. And there are captive deer facilities throughout the state, or someone might encounter a fawn and try to pick it up. But those are those direct interactions with wild deer seem are fairly rare. So it's tough to say exactly. It could be that captive deer could be an intermediary, or some other domestic animal, or some other way that the virus is out there in the environment.
Yeah, I mean, 40% is just a huge number, it seems like.
Yeah, so that suggests that there must be spread from deer to deer. And we know from controlled laboratory studies that deer are susceptible to get infected with COVID-19 and can spread it to other deer. So it seems likely that this is indicating that there is spread from deer to deer in the wild population.
You know, sometimes when these topics come up, I'm amazed at what I don't know. And that's what I love about this show. But so I didn't think of deer society in the past. I mean, I think of a clump of deer living in among itself, not necessarily intermixing with a herd of deer 100 miles away. Or how is it that these deer are becoming physically in contact with each other?
Well, usually deer have a pretty constrained home range, and that's on the order of a square mile or less. But they have a lot of interactions with deer in their social group, and social groups of deer do interact with each other, so it can be spread from one group to a neighboring group that way. And we really don't know anything about kind of how long deer might be infected or infectious. So there's just a whole lot of unknowns here as to what the dynamics of the disease might be in a wild deer population. So this is opening up a lot of areas for potential research.
You talked about the possibility that maybe human contact created it. Should we be concerned about coming in contact with deer? I mean, can they transmit it to us?
We don't know. Of course, any wild animal has their own set of diseases, so there's possibilities of diseases, agents being passed back and forth in either direction. So anytime humans are in contact with wild animals, we should be careful about the spread of possible diseases.
I was reading in Patch.com an article, and they said there's a concern that there could be a threat to livestock, to cows and pigs. What do you make of that?
I'm not as familiar with that literature, but what little I've seen indicates that cows and horses don't seem to be very susceptible to this virus. I don't know about pigs, but most of the livestock seem to be not very susceptible.
Eric Schauber is the state biologist for Illinois. Big picture, is this something that most of us should just find interesting and not be concerned about, or is there a reason to be concerned?
Well, in terms of the big picture, for the vast majority of people, we're much more likely to get any kind of disease infection from another person than from a wild animal. We just encounter each other much more frequently. And so human-to-human transmission is, of course, the biggest concern in terms of containing this pandemic. But there is concern about what happens to these viruses when they get into wild animal populations. It's likely that they will adapt to these other host species, but it's unclear about what that adaptation will mean if the virus gets back into humans. So there's a lot of unknowns there about what that might mean in terms of what how the virus might change.
Okay, so that's something for us to keep our eyes on. Now let's go to some good news. There was an article in the Tribune today about ospreys and how I think they said there were 14 pairs of ospreys in Cook County alone earlier this year. They've lost track of maybe three after the tornadoes. But what do you know about the osprey population in Illinois?
It's definitely been expanding. There have been concerted efforts by the Department of Natural Resources and along with university researchers to try to understand and help the population to recover. They did some releases of osprey chicks. One of them I know was at Lake Shelbyville where they brought chicks over from other states. Mm-hmm. And they use a method called hacking because the chicks will get to know their area where they grew up and they will return to that area. So they keep them in a basically sort of a contained area and they get used to that area. They feed them and then they will return to that area later. And that seems to be pretty successful. They have ospreys nesting there as well. So the population has been recovering.
Another thing I learned today, I knew DDT was a great danger to the American eagle and osprey and all of that. I didn't realize why, that because it was in the bird system that the eggshells were thinner and that kept the chicks from being viable inside the egg. I didn't realize that before.
Yeah, that's the primary problem with the DDT is that so many birds had problems with their eggshells just cracking when they were being incubated, and especially birds that feed on fish. Had a lot of problems with this because there's more links in the food chain in water or aquatic systems than there are on land. So there's just, and every link in the food chain, the concentration of something like DDT gets magnified. So a predatory fish has more in its tissue than the fish it feeds on, which has more in its tissue than what it feeds on. And so the birds at the top of the food chain feeding on fish, namely eagles and ospreys, herons, cormorants, lots of other fish-eating birds really got hammered.
Eric Schelber, the state biologist for Illinois. While I've got you on the phone, I'm fascinated by wildlife. I don't know anything about it very much, but it seems as if I see more wild animals now than I ever have in my lifetime. My backyard, mm-hmm. We've got foxes, skunks, the coyotes run through, and I'm in the middle of a suburb. How are we doing statewide when it comes to wildlife populations?
A lot of them are doing pretty well. We have a much better control of hunting and trapping. They're managed for sustainable wildlife populations. And there's a lot of efforts to improve habitat, both in rural areas as well as urban areas. And if animals are not being persecuted and they have decent habitat, we found they can recover pretty quickly.
Eric Schauber, the Illinois state biologist. Great to talk to you again, Eric. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Steve.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.
WGN.